Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with an early editorial with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, there are so many opinions about the way that these markets are moving. And quite frankly, the opinion that is most accurate time and time again is simply saying, look, these swings in these markets are extreme in many levels. We have already had a extreme pullback, but there is still so much fear in these markets that it's very hard to take any sort of long-term position. I know some people will disagree with me on that, but quite frankly, unless you want to take a position and turn away from your computer for, who knows, maybe a couple of years, and quite frankly, what are you going to do when you're stuck at home? So it is hard to take that sort of a stance. Let me ask you, how are you trading these markets? What has been your strategy so far?
Thanks, Corey. Well, I think the benefit for us, obviously, as we've talked about ad nauseum in the past, and every time a market event occurs like this, not to the extent of this, this is unprecedented, but we always bring up the same point. You know, you have to have some kind of an objective process, especially in managing risk, to get you through periods like this in the market where such damage does occur, and people, their portfolios are just decimated. So you have to have some sort of damage control to avoid A, those losses, and then B, when you have those serious losses, being stuck at the at that decision point where you say, well, I can't take any longer, I'm going to just bail out of the market, and then you lose the subsequent recovery. So the most important thing for an investor, especially if you're looking for an advisor or a money manager, someone to help you with your investments, is you have to have some kind of objective method of managing risk or controlling risk. So we have a intermediate term risk model, which measures basically the risk in the market. And almost rang the bell right at the top in about a month ago. Gave a sell signal about a week into the downturn, though. So since the beginning of March, we've been extremely defensive, pretty much flat in our position. Whatever we have on in terms of longs, we've had equal amount of shorts or hedges. For the most part, we've traded around that a little bit, but we've been extremely defensive over the last 3 weeks, especially. So I think this is the kind of time in the market, as pointed out by our model, where the strategy or the tactic is just to play defense and not to take those destructive losses that, you know, that are so hard to recover from, both mathematically and psychologically. When you're psyche and you get gun shy as far as making the right moves when you're down so much. So we're down 33% or so. That means you have to, you got to make 50% just to get back to even. So that's the math is working against you, and the psychological effects or impacts of such losses are working against you. So our edge, I guess, after many, many decades of doing this, is that we have that objective system that helps us, you know, through periods like this, so that we can pretty much limit our losses and be in a psychologically sound place when the next opportunity comes to make some money on the upside. We're in a financially and psychologically good place to do so.
So it sounds like you are really trying to protect your downside here. And that needs to be, I think, first and foremost on everyone's mind, just because of how quickly that money can evaporate. But are there any sectors or areas that you have found yourself trying to take? It sounds like a hedge position, but a slightly longer position in?
Well, there's still some semblance of relative strength out there. I mean, in a market like this, everything, I mean, as they say, correlations go to one. Everything gets basically thrown out with the bathwater. Everything, that no areas spared in a brutal bear market like that. There are, if you look at the longer term charts, there are some areas that have, relatively speaking, have held up better in relative to their prior lows and highs. So areas like technology and semiconductors, biotech, up until just recently, some of the more defensive sectors, staples and utilities, had been faring better than the market. So there are some areas that will be positioned better once this market does turn around. It's not to say they haven't gotten clobbered, because like I said, everything has. So you have those that are interesting that we have held on to, again, along with hedges to protect those losses or mitigate those losses on the other side of the ledger. At the same time, on the other hand, you have some of those areas of the market that have gotten hit the worst over the last month or so that if you look closely enough for the last couple of days, even as the major averages have continued to sell off, some of those hardest hit areas of the market actually have stopped going down, about maybe a week ago or so at some key levels, most of them hitting that 61 retracement from the 2009 low already. So areas like the micro caps, many of the European averages, home builders, and a couple others that just got wiped out, but stopped going down, like I said, a couple days ago, and kind of gave you a heads up that maybe the downside is getting exhausted here, at least for this initial wave down.
All right. So, Dana, one aspect that you and I were chatting about off mic that I find so interesting is balancing out the upside risk with the downside risk, or potential, I guess we could say. One thing that no doubt we were talking about year over year up until about 2 months ago was that the downside risk was way more prevalent and the upside, it had just been so exhausted. And you know what? It looks like that was true, because dropping almost 40% in a matter of a couple months, that is extreme. But now, what about the argument saying that there could be some better upside potential than a further, say, 40% sell-off?
Sure. Well, I think it depends on your duration. If you're talking about long-term, as you know, we do think there's potential for much more downside. But if you're talking in the shorter term or intermediate term, you have you basically have rubber bands of shorter length that right now are stretched so far to the downside that it's almost inconceivable that they would keep going down without some sort of a retracement rally. I mean, I've said that a little bit at various times over the last few weeks, and it has kept going down. But the way we see it, you know, especially at the lows yesterday, and if as you get down towards 2100 or 20 middle 2000s in the S&P, honestly, I think the conceivable downside is in the near term is very limited, especially relative to considerable upside from that point. Probably, you know, you're looking up in the range of the 26 to 2700 level, possibly in the S&P 500. So you're looking at, you know, 30% of upside versus maybe a couple percentage points on the downside potential. So you do, yes, in the short term, we have gotten close to, I mean, you know, we've got a big rally going on today, but I think especially near the lows yesterday, we got to the point where the risk reward was substantially tilted towards the upside relative to the downside, which again, it's much easier to take that view and take that stance and take advantage of that when you've been able to protect yourself on the way down to begin with, but you haven't taken, you know, the damage, the hits that this market has dished out. If you've lost 30 to 40% of your portfolio, then rolling the dice and stepping on the pedal when you're down that much because of the risk reward opportunity is tough to do. So that's another, you know, reason or argument in favor of some sort of active risk management on your portfolio.
Just a quick comment on the precious metals here. That is really moving strong. Gold up almost $100. That's on the back of a nice day. Is this enough to show you that a change has happened in terms of the precious metals? And I know you can weigh out the actual spot price or futures price with what the stocks are doing. One has broken out, the other still has not. Where do you stand on calling that sector?
Yeah, no, we're still bullish. We've been bullish on gold for a while now, probably 10 months or so. Still bullish on it. I think we've spoken a number of times. We thought we've seen gold hitting pretty significant resistance in the longer term, especially relative to some measurements from the peak in 2011 or so. So I think... I would not be surprised to see a little bit more consolidation here in this vicinity. I mean, it's consolidated for the last couple of months or so. More consolidation would not surprise me. But in the long term, we are still bullish on gold. In fact, we bought a little bit last week into the dip. So we are still bullish there. We would still be buying the dip there. Not positive that we're off to the races again yet. But certainly bullish there and open to buying more. Gold miners, gold stocks, on the other hand, have been too erratic for us. We had just an unprecedented shakeout over the last week or so or 2 weeks. Too volatile for us, too erratic, like I said. So we would be actually trimming some exposure into this rally up here until some kind of a breakout occurs, and then we could reassess. But gold, as far as gold, gold bullion or the GLD, which we invest in, that we're still, you know, in the longer term, still bullish and still pretty constructive on.
All right, Daniel, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for kicking off today with us. Tough markets, but interesting trading strategies, and it does open up some opportunities. But I think the real takeaway is you still need to be defensive, because the daily swings that we see are, well, they can shake out some pretty ugly positions or losses. Dana, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. You too. Bye.